This show is part of the Dark Moor Podcast Network. To join our community Discord or see more content from our members, visit darkmoorpodcast.com.
Welcome to Crit Like a Girl, where it's all sugar, spice, and everything dice.
My name is Johnny, and I'm the host, executive producer, and Prince of Lies for the Monsters Playbook. What's the Monsters Playbook? It's an actual play Monster of the Week podcast set in my hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota, where no monster can hurt you as badly as you can hurt yourself. It's a character-focused adventure where you'll meet Kira Ashwood, a journalist with a cult past she's desperate to atone for, and a secret power hidden even from herself. Casey Davis, a taciturn secret agent becoming disillusioned with the agency she thought she could trust. Theo Nessos, a professional sorceress trying to escape the shadow of her powerful magical family. And Mark Clayton, a pretty haunted introvert who just wants to make sense of his powers and all the weird things that keep happening to him. This is a show where danger could just as easily come from an otherworldly threat as from the fragile emotions that anchor our characters and bind them together. If you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Dresden Files, or any city-set supernatural story with monstrous threats and messy feelings, check out the Monsters Playbook. New episodes every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Last time on Crit Like a Girl, our dream team arrives in Drakartha. Poppy takes them to the Neven Goblet, a tavern she used to frequent while living in Drakartha. Poppy is obviously wanting to leave the tavern quickly to avoid someone without telling the others who. The group decides to split up, with Zildwyn and Jinx going to the Monastery of Lights, while Poppy and Zuri go to the taverns to find any rumors in the city that could help them on their journey. And that is where our story begins.
Stepping inside the monastery, it is a very large kind of open space in front of you, including kind of several balconies above you that you can see that just kind of line the area. You can see all the way up to the ceiling from this room, just this massive towering room. And there are like soft dust motes kind of floating in the light that's coming through from some of the higher up windows. As you enter, after a moment, you are approached by a middle-aged halfling woman who has her hair kind of tied back into kind of a loose top knot. She is wearing some of those same kind of looser robes tied at the waist. Doesn't seem to have any form of armor or protective thing, and she will smile at you and just, "All right, welcome to the Monastery of Lights. Is there anything I can help you with this evening?"
"Hello there. My name is Jinx. We have just come from a city just outside of here that I never caught the actual name of, but you guys had sent reinforcements there because everything was getting really gross and bad and food was rotting and people were turning into zombie heads."
She looks kind of bewildered for a moment. "I think that might be a little past my pay grade. I more meant if you needed guidance to one of the particular gods. But that's fine. Let me. It's a pleasure to meet you, Jinx. I'm not sure I caught all of that. My name is Clarice. It's a pleasure. Let me see if I can find someone who might be a little more familiar with all of this. In the meantime, you are welcome to either come with me. I'm going to go see if I can find one of the clerics.
Is there..." "Oh, what are you?"
Oh, I am one of the monks of the monastery.
Right.
I am, yes. And she kind of smiles. She is wearing a religious symbol on her waist, but you would recognize it, Jinx, as the symbol of the five. Just that kind of joint symbol of all of the gods. She will look at you and, you are welcome to wait here, or you are welcome to come with me while I go find one of the clerics. Or if you would like to actually be led to one of these specific areas for the gods to pray or whatever you might need, I can do that on the way.
I think you can go inform your high priestess or high council that we are here, and I will wait for them in the room dedicated to Kievani if you will lead us there.
Right, yes, I can do that. You as well. And she'll look at you, Sildwyn.
Yes, please. I'll just go with her.
Okay. Lovely. There are, as you kind of enter the room further, you are able to see off to the sides, there are two rooms to the left and two to the right. Even before getting there, you can kind of tell that they are a little more color-coded. There is one in green and yellow to the left and one in red and blue to the right. There are like draperies around the doorways in those colors, in green and yellow on one side and blue and red on the other. And she will lead you towards the one that has the green draperies, leading you inside. As you kind of cross the threshold, the stone floor of the temple, it's still stone, but it begins to be kind of covered in moss. And the walls here, rather than being stone, are kind of lined with wood. There is kind of a vibe of a little bit more nature being grown in here. There are several plants that you assume were probably potted plants at one point, but have been allowed to kind of overrun the room. And there's like the ivy you saw outside seems to have almost completely overtaken the walls in here. There is a small like stone. It's kind of a pillar, but it has kind of a roof on it, making a kind of like alcove where there is a bowl with what seems to be some kind of water, as well as several holders for incense or candles. And she will kind of smile at the both of you and, right, this is the room that we have to the goddess Kievani. If you would like to stay in here, you're welcome as long as you would like. The monastery, of course, does not close. And I will go get someone who might be a little more certain of what you're after here. And she will kind of dip into a very, like, formal bow.
Once she's gone, Jinx is going to look at Sildwyn and go, if this place doesn't close, do you think that we could sleep here? I think this is probably the most plants they have in all of the city.
If it doesn't close, maybe they'd let us. Sildwyn would agree. She's like, yeah, unless they have like a park or a garden, but I like this.
We probably can't sleep where they worship them, but like maybe they have something here for us. I don't know. I just kind of thought it felt more homey than everything else out there.
After a few minutes, you do hear the sound of footsteps outside and emerging into the room and just kind of hanging back in the doorway, not uncomfortable, but seemingly respectful of a space that they feel they do not belong in. There is an elven man with very dark purple skin and kind of silver hair that is kind of cropped short in the back and longer in the front. He is wearing kind of a dark brown leather armor, almost black, over kind of very deep navy robes. And there is a symbol at his waist of Fianmai. And he will smile at the two of you as he enters. And I apologize for it taking so long. Clarice was filling me in, though I feel like she may have missed some details along the way. I would be happy to talk to you about anything you may need, however.
Jinx will stop dancing, because that's probably what she did in the 5 minutes while she was waiting, and will go, oh, hello, my name is Jinx, and this is, well, this is my leader, but she goes by Sildwyn. Not really my leader. My leader is more, and she gestures up at everything around her.
Perfectly understandable. My name is Corvos. It's a pleasure. It is always a pleasure to meet a follower of one of the other gods. If you are more comfortable in here, I'm willing to have this conversation. Otherwise, if you wouldn't mind stepping back into the main area, I tend to try not to tread on the other gods' areas as much as possible, just out of respect.
Yeah, you look really uncomfortable, like your skin is going to break out into hives or something. So that's okay with me.
I think we can step outside.
He smiles at you both, and I'm not uncomfortable per se. However, many of the other gods, as you well know, are very closely tied in with life, and oft times there is some discomfort with followers such as I taking too much of a step into territory that some feel we don't belong.
Oh, you worship Thianmai?
I do. Actually, most of this monastery was originally devoted to Thianmai. We, of course, have built up worship to the gods over time, but it was originally created as worship to them, as well as caretakers of the catacombs below the city.
That is interesting. Thianmai, they are a very cool deity, but the goddess Kiavani is the best. Anywho, so we can step out here and we can chat.
Right, if you will follow me then. And he will turn around and kind of lead you guys back out to a small area where there's been set up, like, it seems to be like some sort of sitting area, just kind of tucked away underneath one of the balconies, kind of out of sight. It seems to be kind of a private area for people to have conversations. And he will gesture for the two of you to sit before and wait for you to do so before taking a seat of his own. I was informed of a town that you don't know the name of, and
zombie heads.
Yes, I'm not particularly certain. I do understand why I was fetched for the term zombie heads. However, I'm not quite certain of the context.
Yeah, I can see how that could check out. We actually were there, and there were people who came from this city. There was Elegance, and who does not worship the same person as you? And then there was Oofstern, Poopstern, another dude. Anyways, he wrote us a letter, and she'll look over at Sildwyn.
Sildwyn would pull the letter out of her pack, and she's taken good care of it. It was folded neatly and stored like a little pocket somewhere, so it's not stained or anything. She would take her time, unfold it, lay it flat, and then pass it over.
Yeah, Corvus will go ahead and take it from you and kind of, holding it very gently, scan it for a moment. He's looked very concerned for the past about 30 seconds since Jinx started talking. But as he gets to the bottom, he will kind of, Olar, got it. Yes. Excellent. Okay. Interesting. I know he had been sent to look into some illnesses out in Alrust. I was not informed anything about zombie heads.
Oh boy, let me tell you. Oh my goddess. So like, there were these creepy little things that would like grow kind of algae seaweed and start crawling and like trying to make out with you so that you would become one. She says while smiling.
And then your head would separate from your body and it would crawl around on little vine legs like a spider, but on vines.
Yeah, but don't worry, we took care of it, which is should be written in the letter. So like, I don't know if there's a reward for something like that.
I don't know that there's a reward, though. I suppose I could look into providing you with any materials you may need.
I will take diamonds.
Yes, a healer. That does make sense.
Yeah, like big fat diamonds.
I can look into potentially getting you enough to at least do some basic healing. And he pauses for a moment and looks back at the letter and kind of runs his thumb over it for a moment and looks back up at you. And Olar is all right.
I mean, like, we didn't hurt him or anything. We didn't pressure him into reading the letter. He just got owned by a bunch of sexy women because he couldn't do his job well enough.
I more meant, is he safe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's right. That's good to hear. I will look into getting you materials that you may need. I do appreciate your looking into this. You said there was another cleric there as well. Elegance.
Yes.
Right, I don't know her very well.
The one of the ocean. Ooh.
A follower of Ghadira, yes. I unfortunately don't know her very well. She is very new to area.
She went with us to find the cause, and she did very well. So you should consider bringing her up in your ranks.
Unfortunately, I do not control the ranks of the other deities.
You could give her a letter of recommendation or something.
I will absolutely pass along the information. I don't particularly, again, control what the other orders who work out of here do. Simply doing my job. I think I was just fetched because of the words zombie heads, to be quite honest.
Is that something you've seen before? Or have you heard of any other illnesses or any other maybe towns that are reaching out for aid because of something strange? Oh, baby dear, you have the thing? The unholy thing?
No, I handed it off to Zuri. But I suppose we could describe it.
We can bring it back later. I guess it's not super relevant right now, but we were like wondering mainly if there was anything like illnesses or, ooh, that's kind of weird, that's kind of creepy, coming from other places or here.
Typically, we're not the first to be reached out to. We were the closest to Ulrus by far, which is why we did send people. But most typically, if people are looking for religious assistance, they're going to reach out to those who are in Gilramore. However, we do receive word here and there, especially, mainly by virtue of working with the Magus Conclave, who... He makes a little bit of a face as he says that. They occasionally request our assistance in matters. As for illnesses, I can't say illnesses, but something about what you're describing. You said they walked around on vine legs?
Yeah.
That doesn't... a moment. He will stand up for a moment and kind of walk around the sitting area to a small door that is in the wall and will knock on it. And after a moment, will open the door. And inside the door, you actually cannot see anything through the door. It just kind of looks like a kind of grayish veil. And he will wave his hand over it and the gray kind of fades in and out. And you kind of see a small like library appear, and he will go ahead and step through it, leaving the door open behind him, and kind of pick through and pull a book off of a shelf, kind of flip it open, and as he does so will kind of pull his holy symbol out and press it to the book, and seems to be murmuring a prayer as he does so.
Can I gather if gray is meant to be neutral territory or if it is Fianmai's territory?
Go ahead and roll a religion check to see if you can figure out what he's doing. You get the impression that this is not a specific, like, territory of any god. You get the impression that what he just did was, like, sort through and pull up a specific demiplane.
She is going to walk through and into the library.
I mean, it's a library. It's about 30-foot room made of stone. There are several bookshelves kind of lining the walls, as well as a few more tables and chairs and like a large couple of desks. And he has pulled open this book and kind of set it down and is filtering through. But looking around, it's a library. It is a library that he just opened through a random doorway.
I want to start looking for books that might have like symbology stuff or look like they have the symbol that's on the unholy symbol somewhere on them. She's just doing like a quick scan looking for that.
Go ahead and make an investigation check. You do find several books about symbology. You do not find anything with the unholy symbol. You find several books on symbology of both the gods as well as extraplanar entities. You find several books on symbols of demons and devils from the lower planes, as well as some of like celestial origin. But you do not see any in particular that have the symbol you are specifically looking out for. But he kind of flips open to a specific page and pushes a book across the table. It's a zombie head, and this is what it reminded me of, but I don't quite understand the way you're describing these things. And looking at the page he's pushed over to you, you do see pictures of things that are very similar to what you faced. However, these are far more fiendish in quality They do not have any of that kind of natural basing. They don't have any of like the vines, any of the fungal growth. These look very much more like demons, whereas the ones you faced looked very natural.
Jinx is going to motion to Sildwyn to like come through to the library.
She hesitates, but she'll follow through. And as he pulls out this book, she would kind of lean in close to Jinx as they look it over and just kind of like check it out. They look more fiendish. Do they look more insectoid? Like, what are their little leggies made out of and stuff?
They do not have legs. They seem to just have, like, I hate to say the sentence, flesh tentacles, but that's what they have.
Ew.
So they are similar in nature in having that, like, just the head and having those kind of, like, outstretching wings and even the kind of, like, tongue thing. But the ones you saw, all of that would have been, like, vine work and fungus and plants. Creatures of the lower plains, Argwheel. It is concerning to think there might be any kind of infestation of anything of the sort, but...
Where did these come from?
The ones in this book?
Yes.
They're from the lower plains. They're from the, if I remember correctly, the abyss.
That is so fun. That is not at all terrifying.
But the things you're describing, I'm not entirely certain. I could look into it more. Actually, if you'll forgive me saying, this is fascinating, but this is also my specific field of devotion. So things like this do tend to hold my interest.
Yeah, that's not at all creepy.
He kind of smiles, and I suppose I should rephrase. I follow Fian Mai for their attachment to Arcana, not because of their properties of death or anything of the sort. In another lifetime, if I had been smart enough, I might have been a wizard, but unfortunately for myself, I find much more contentment in devoting my life to studying what the deity of the arcane has granted to us.
Well, this is kind of like my goddess and your deity had like a weird creepy baby that nobody asked for. Like nobody. And then it was also like an STD and kept spreading and nobody asked for that either.
No, I suppose that is certainly a way to phrase that.
So how do you stop the ones in your book?
They don't particularly care for sunlight. Very, very few fiends do. Any lit areas they have no desire to go into. Mostly they just, I mean, you kill them the way you kill anything. But like most fiends, they simply return to the abyss and they can.
Where did these ones come from? Because the townspeople were turning into these.
That is the question, isn't it? I couldn't tell you without more examination into one of the ones that you actually encountered. Though there is a way. These can also kind of replicate themselves, I suppose.
By making out?
Yes, of a sort, fortunately. However, how did you deal with them?
Sunlight and daylight kept them at bay, but we did something else. We found the source and corrected it, and we're trying to figure out if there are other sources.
A sort. You didn't use magic, though, to heal it.
That depends on what you mean by we didn't use magic to heal it, because it seemed to have been caused by a person. She kind of says that vaguely. And a fungus. So we burned the fungus, right? And then she looks back at Jinx.
And, like, smashed a couple things, but, like, yep.
I will say that this would go smoother if we could share all of the information we have. However, I understand that we don't know each other well and your possible reluctance, and I'm not going to push for more than I absolutely need to know. However, I will say, if you were able to get rid of it simply by removing a source, those do seem true Vargwheel. Their source would be the abyss. You would have to take out the entirety of the abyss, which is obviously impossible, unfortunately. So typically the only way to remove diseases or dispel the condition before it gets too far is very powerful magic. Greater restoration, spells of the like, difficult spells to perform and very expensive ones as well, if you were able to get rid of it in a less, in a way that required less intense magic, whatever is creating these things might not be so strong as, well, I would hope whatever is creating these things might not be so strong as the corrupt nature of the Abyss.
Sildwyn looks doubtful.
Jinx just looks very concerned.
I apologize if that's not information you are particularly fond of hearing, or that you don't believe. Again, I don't obviously know all of the information that's presented here. I would have to do more studying. When Olar gets back, I can quiz him. He's going to be gone. And he starts kind of like grumbling to himself, kind of seemingly trying to figure, like kind of planning under his breath for a moment before he does look back up. And
do you have a piece of paper and a quill?
Of course.
Do you have a piece of parchment and a quill?
Yes, of course. And he'll just reach into one of the drawers and pull out some parchment and push over a quill and inkwell towards you and step away from the table to give you space to write.
She starts drawing the unholy symbol, and then she'll ask, have you ever seen something like this?
No, unfortunately. It's some form of symbol. I have a very good grasp on symbology. That's not one I recognize, not from any of the, doesn't seem like. And he'll kind of walk over to a shelf again and open and begin kind of like flipping through a book as he holds it in his hand very rapidly, and then close it again and put it back and drag out another one, and does this a few times before shaking his head. And it doesn't seem to suit any of the devilish or demonic symbology that I recognize. It also doesn't seem to follow with celestial, though I'm not as familiar with that.
She'll take it back and she'll burn it.
I understand the caution, I suppose. If we could maybe not employ fire in my library, please, I would really appreciate it.
Oh my goddess, I'm so sorry. I did not think about that.
It's quite all right. This is just, you know, a lot of my life's work.
This is your library?
Yes, this is, well, it's my demiplane. It's my library.
Very impressive.
Thank you, I suppose.
But, like, you had to kill a lot of trees to get this much paper, so not as impressive.
I do try to always replace what we have to take. Fortunately, as so many things in this world, everything is a cycle.
Baby dear, do you have any more questions?
No, I don't think I do.
I don't know precisely when Olar is set to return. He does tend to not have the most expedient. Anyways, once he returns, I will try and have a conversation with him and figure out a little more if I can. Otherwise, I will look as best I can into these matters for you. Let me, a moment, and he will, if you could, I do need you both to leave the library, or this is going to be very complicated in just a moment.
Okay, Jinx will head out.
Sildwyn would follow her.
He will follow directly behind you, and as he does so, will turn around and wave his hand again. The library disappears back into that kind of flat, grayish look, and he's like, I hate the only one of the day, but, and he will kind of, very clearly is casting a spell just with his hand movements, and the kind of grayish look does disappear and reopen into another room. This one is kind of just made of stone and a lot more plain. It just seems like possibly a storage area almost. And he moves into the room, and if you look through and look around, you can see that it is a storage room that looks to be mostly for spell components, and there are a lot of spell components in here. There are different jars that seem to be holding like different types of liquids. There are small piles of gems in bowls around different areas, and he does move to a kind of cupboard off to the side and rifle through and pluck out, and will turn around and hand or offer to you, Jinx, a small kind of probably quarter-sized diamond. I cannot
I cannot offer you too much more. Again, components of this sort are tricky to come by, even for someone like me, who has had a very long time to do so. However, you did, according to this letter, very good work and saved an awful lot of people, and the least I can do is give you the opportunity to save one of your own should you need it. And he has given you a diamond worth 300 gold.
Thank you very much.
Quite welcome. Anything else I can do, I will look into. You have, if nothing else, also presented me with some very interesting new research that I'm sure is going to take up quite a bit of my time in the coming weeks. But always good to have a project, I suppose. Don't live as long as I do without picking up projects.
How old are you?
Oh, well, I'm about middle age for a drow, so 300 and... Oh, when was my last birthday?
Wow, you look fantastic.
I appreciate the sentiment, I suppose. He just seemed to be, like, more bewildered than anything every time you compliment him. And just will, like, nod a little bit.
I would love to know any knowledge that you do gain. Do you have a way to contact us?
Now that I've met you, yes, very, very easily, in fact. I don't have it prepared today, but I just need to spend some time in prayer, and I should be able to contact you fairly easily. It's, of course, not a very long message, but I should be able to... You should be able to as well. And he'll kind of look over you, like, almost assessing you for a moment, and are you powerful enough in your faith?
I am plenty powerful, don't you worry. I look forward to hearing from you, though.
I was simply asking if you had been granted use of the sending spell yet.
No, not yet.
I will send to you if I find anything. Otherwise, I could try and check in if I find anything, but also if you would like me to check in every few weeks to just see if you have anything, I suppose I can do that.
That would be very nice. Perhaps we can come back and share more information with you once we meet up with our other group members and decide if we want to share information with you.
Well, any information you do decide to share with me would be very much appreciated. As, well, I don't know if you know, but when one devotes their life to study, having as much information as possible to work off of is often extremely helpful. The information you've given me thus far, I believe I can get a start with, at least. I can try my best to look into that, look into everything you've shared. If Olar vouches for you, I trust his opinion. If there's anything else you need from us at the moment, either from me or from the monastery in general, I'm happy to oblige.
Would we be allowed to sleep here?
That is a great question.
I take it the two of you feel uncomfortable in the city proper?
Wildly so. You have no idea. It is awful out there. There are no trees. There is no grass.
Yes, the city does tend to outgrow itself rather quickly. That's never something that's particularly bothered me. I can understand why followers of Chiavanni might be unsettled. It's typically not something we... do a whole lot. However, if you need simply a night or two, I don't think anyone would begrudge you simply having been here too late worshipping and fallen asleep. I would possibly suggest not doing it for an elongated period of time, however. Again, I don't particularly cover that area of our temple proper. You would have to speak to one of the clerics of Chiavanni, should one of them find you in there. I'm not going to rat you out, I suppose, is the best answer I can give you.
Thank you very much. I don't think I have any other questions.
Right. Well, if you do, please let me know. Otherwise, I can't get back to my library tonight, damn it. I will be doing some other work until I have time to access my library again and recover my books.
Thank you for your help, then.
Of course. It was a pleasure to meet you, Jinx, Sildwyn. Do you need the letter from Olar back?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay. He hands it over, and there's like a slight reluctance as he does so, and he like just thumbs his brushes his thumb over where Olar has signed it, but he does return it to you and just kind of smile.
What was that?
He just looks at you for a moment and, right, well, please, have a...
Are you taken?
I'm not entirely certain what you're asking.
Ooh la la! I saw the way you brushed across the name. Is that why you cared if he was okay? He's your lover.
I am not going to answer these questions. Roll an insight check for me. He has very dark skin. It's very difficult to see. His cheeks seem a little darker.
He's very adorable. I'm not going to lie. I'm slightly disappointed. You are very attractive, but I get it. That is so adorable. So I don't know, like, if he's alive at this moment, but whenever I last left, he was alive. So I hope that brings you some comfort.
I'm going to go finish my work and rest for the evening so that
I can prepare some new spells. Oh yeah.
He like closes his eyes for a moment and you see him send up like a very quick, like, you know, like when people pray for patience, but he's literally praying. It was very nice meeting you both.
It was nice to meet you too. I hope that you and your lover get to reunite soon. Are you star-crossed lovers? One the worshipper of death, one the worshipper of the sun and the light.
At this point, Sildwyn would just kind of like, Jinx, we should go.
He has tried to end this conversation so many times, and eventually he will just turn around and walk away.
Do you think that I'm right? Did you see the way he caressed the name?
I absolutely think you're right, but I don't think we should bother him about it anymore. He did not seem to like being bothered about it.
That's very adorable. He's just a nerdy little book boy, and he was fantasizing about his lover. How cute! Okay, let's go to the town and tell Poopy and Zuri all about this.
Thanks for listening to Crit Like a Girl. Art by Natendo_art on Twitter. Opening and closing music by Brian Dockery. Background sound from Freesound, Incompetech, and Tabletop Audio. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Ko-Fi to support the show and your favorite adventurers. Don't forget to check out our website, critlikeagirl.com. If you have any questions, suggestions, or recommendations, email us at critlikeagirlpod@gmail.com.